God is here, watching, listening, as well as reading our thoughts. How then should we present ourselves in worship? How then should we present ourselves to God in worship? Revelation chapter 4 shows the 24 elders worshiping God. 12 of the 24 elders are men who represent the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and the other 12 are the apostles of the Lamb, thus representing the church. And when something is said about God, look what they do. Starting at verse 9, Revelation 4. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying... Now picture, they're down on their knees, they've bowed down before Him, they've thrown their crowns down, and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." That should be us, at least in heart. When you understand who God is, when you understand His nature, you may want to fall down in worship of Him. But at least in the heart, that's where He wants to see it. Where we cast our hearts before Him, our hearts have gone face down before Him, and we worship the great God. What then should be the condition of our hearts? What should be our thoughts? And what should our appearance be? For even as young children gaze upon their parents in admiration, so we should be gazing upon God in our worship in deep admiration. Lake read the first six verses of Psalm 96. I'm going to pick up now where he left off. Open your ears and open your hearts and open your lives to the teaching, to the exhortation of Psalm 96, verses 7 through 9. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Give to the Lord, because the very nature of worship is to give. Worship is not so much about me receiving, though I know that happens, but it's about me primarily and prominently giving. We as God's children have come to give to Him. We have not come to see performers. But to perform. We are not the audience, you know, sitting in our pews, looking up at the men up here as actors and performers. God is the audience. And right now, He watches us all as we perform. We come to give. Yes, we do receive, but it is when we first give. We cannot reap unless we have sown. We cannot gain from the worship unless we give to the worship. Psalm 96 also said to give the Lord glory and strength, honoring Him. For what and who He is. And we'll hear more from Jesus on that a little bit later. Psalm 96 also said, bring an offering, but not a financial offering alone. Bring the offering of your soul, thereby making Him comfortable with us, rather than us trying to be comfortable in the worship. The worship is not about us. It's about the Creator of the universe. It's about the One who has created us. And we want to make Him comfortable with us as we magnify Him. The psalmist also said, come into His courts. That is, assemble. Yes, worship on your own. Personally, I hope that frequently you find reasons for praising God through the week. But even as parents like to have their children come together once in a while, so God likes to have His children come together. And He wants to hear them sing. And He wants to hear them pray, that is, speak to Him and so forth. He wants to see them remember His blessed Son, Jesus, and the awesome sacrifice that both of them made that day. Worship the Lord in holiness. In fact, the psalmist said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But that holiness doesn't begin when we get here. It begins before we arrive. In fact, in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 2, the Lord told the Jews that He rejected their worship, although it was emotional worship, because something was wrong. What was it? Well, let's turn to Malachi 2, starting at verse 13, and find out what was wrong. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so He does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Now you're probably thinking the same thing they just did. Look at the next verse. Yet you say, for what reason? God, You've told us to come together every Sabbath to worship You. You've told us to do various things, and we do them when we get here. We pour out our souls. We weep and we cry. And You say, I don't like it. I don't want it anymore. And so the Jews said, why not? What's wrong? Well, here's his answer. Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Do you want one of your children to verbally insult another one of your children, and then the one who does the insulting comes to you and say, I love you, Mom, or I love you, Dad? Not me. I find that hard to accept if one of my children has hurt the other. You make it right with your brother or sister first. Go back and say you're sorry. And then come and tell me how much you love me. That's what God's doing in Malachi chapter 2. That's the nature of our God, and He doesn't change. Now, this is just one example among many. It's the idea that we worship Him in the beauty of holiness by living holy lives, not just by the acts of worship that we go through here being holy. To worship in holiness also means to appear modestly. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul addressed our time of worship when he showed how we should be presenting ourselves. Starting at verse 8, he said, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. So again, the prayer in worship should be holy, because you're not a wrathful person or a doubting person. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. So in other words, I'm not here to display myself. That is, how much money I make or my body. And to that same issue, God told the Jews in Exodus chapter 28 that the male priests had to be careful when they presented themselves to the Lord in worship. Listen to Exodus 28, starting at verse 41. So you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. So here's what's going on, is the Lord does not want us in any way to detract from the holiness of worship, either from my own worship or from the worship of others. Because again, it's not about us. It's about the great Creator. And presenting myself to Him. In that sense, we have a part in it. It's about us. For He didn't call the dogs or the giraffes or the dolphins to worship in the assembly. It's us. But our focus is on Him. I pray before every worship service that I would not be distracted by anything, nor would I be a distraction. And I'd encourage you to please pray the same thing, that we may magnify our God together in worship. Now, one of the last things that the psalmist mentioned there in Psalm 96 is tremble before Him. And you don't have to make that up like, okay, it's time to worship now. Okay, I'm going to start trembling. No. When you know who and what God is, when you think about Him, you'll tremble. I'd encourage you, for example, to listen to our songs. I know it's important to get the songs right, and I'm big on that myself. I want to sing them right. But don't let that concern cause you to overlook what you're saying. Listen to the words. Did you hear the words we sang today? Did you hear what you said to God? There were some awesome words being spoken to our Creator. Listen as the men lead us in prayer and hang upon every word that they say. So that when they say amen, you can say it too. And not just out of habit, but because you really agree with what they said. When that communion comes around, don't look at it as, oh, here comes the cracker, I'm going to take a bite of that. Remember what it symbolizes. Oh, here comes the grape juice. What does it symbolize? Someone died a horrible, torturous death so I could be here today. I mean, think on all that stuff. And it may make you tremble. It may make you shed a tear. Sometimes it may make you just want to praise God. Who knows what it may do? But just take in all those things into your heart and you'll find yourself trembling, as the psalmist said. And I think he said that because at least one reason would be we need to know it's okay to tremble before God. Yes, it is. I know He's a loving Heavenly Father and all that stuff. We need to be comfortable in His presence. But on the other hand, He's the God who said, "Let there be light." And Moses said, "And there was light." You don't just walk up to someone who can do that and say, "Hey, how's it going with you today, man?" This is the awesome Creator. He's not the old man upstairs. He's not a cool dude. He's the awesome God. Now, let's turn to John chapter 4. And here's Jesus on the outskirts of a town. And He meets a woman. And they start talking about some things. And part of what they talked about was worship. She misunderstood some things about worship. And the ever kind, the ever ready to teach Jesus taught her these words about worship. John 4, 21 through 24. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus said, know what? Or rather, who you worship? Do you know God? Do you think about Him? Do you take time to think about God and to get to know Him better? How can a person worship God if he doesn't know who or what God is? One of the songs, I think it was maybe 619, said, "Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word." Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. If you will do what you sang to yourself and what you sang to the rest of us here, if we will all do this, then the things that we have spoken about from Psalm 96 and John chapter 4 will happen. And you'll think, wow, how have I missed the point of worship all these years? You may actually begin to think to yourself that the most important event in your life, a repetitive event, you may actually begin to think that the most important thing you do in your life, you may actually begin to think that the most pleasurable thing in which you take part is right here. In the assembly of the church, worshiping God. Now, I mean that literally in what I just said. I was not using hyperbole. I meant every word of it. Think of, right now, all of the things you do in your life. All of the things that you think are important and pleasurable. Whatever it might be, think about it. If you do what that song says, if you do what Psalm 96 says, if you get the attitude in the heart of the 24 elders in Revelation 4, then I think you will agree, nothing surpasses worshiping God. And we need to start thinking that way now, because I want to tell you something. From what I understand in Scripture, worshiping God is one of the main things we do in heaven. So if I don't take pleasure in it now, how can I take pleasure in heaven? Worship, Jesus said, the Father in spirit. In other words, mere physical motions are not enough. God wants my spirit into it because of His nature. That's why Jesus said, God is spirit. Therefore, my spirit has to be in and behind everything I do here. Jesus said further, worship the Father in truth. To say that worship is in spirit doesn't mean that it's without guidance. Doesn't mean that it only goes by our feelings. But since He's the one whom we're worshiping, I need to find out what He wants. I wouldn't give you a gift that offends you in your beliefs. If I really want to give something to you that comes from my heart, and will show you how much I love you, I need to find out what you like and don't like. I need to know what your tastes are. And that's how it is with the Father. I need to know who He is. I need to know what He wants in worship and what He doesn't want in worship. So, I open up His Holy Scriptures and I search in them and see what He says. And then when I finally come together, I can say, okay, here's what He wants. And man, I'm giving it everything I've got. I hope you'll be happy with it. And I think from what we see in the scriptures, he will indeed be happy. Therefore, worship highlights the life of a Christian. Worship is an extension of the life of a Christian. Or is it the life of a Christian is an extension of his worship? I'm not sure which way it is. Does my worship extend from the kind of life I live? Or do I live the way I do because of my worship? Or is it both? Do not let your time here be wasted by not even being a Christian. God wants you in His family. Nothing's more important to Him than that. He wants every person on the face of this earth to be in His family. And that includes you if you're not there yet. Show your worship of Him, your adoration for Him, by submitting to Him through faith and obedience. Why wait any longer? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I mean, you believe there's a God in heaven. First of all, I'm sure that's why you're here. Do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is His Son? If you do, He wants you to be immersed in water. When you're ready for it, He wants you to be baptized in water that your sins might be forgiven so that your destination at death is not hell but heaven. That's what He wants. And if you're ready for that, come forward now as we stand and sing.